Blog Talk Radio.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Belt a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bant in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grill, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and saggy. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on. Woo.
There it is, guys. Hold on before it starts again here. Got a little... All right, there we go. Welcome, guys. It is that will not be the only Dorsey O'Dell that you hear tonight, as Dorsey will be joining us to co-host our first segment. We'll talk more about that in a second. But welcome, February 5th, 2013. Whiskey Bent in the pit. Barbecue Radio finally back. Been off 3 weeks now. The first week was work-related. The last 2 weeks have been flu-related, and as you'll hear, about 90% of the way there, but still got a little congestion, but I think we'll be good tonight. It doesn't sound nearly as bad as it did the last 2 weeks. I knew none of y'all would want to suffer through that. For anybody that saw me at Pigfest on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, it was three times worse than that on Tuesday, so I don't think any... I think anybody that would have tuned in would have tuned out within the first 3 or 4 minutes. So anyway, it's good to be back. 3 weeks gone. Missed you guys. Always miss doing the show. But welcome back. We got a good one lined up tonight. First off, we're going to turn the tables a little bit. We were fortunate enough to cook some decent product and hit the right tables this weekend. And finally got back in victory lane after what seems like a 10-year drought. And when the Winter Haven Smoke on the Water. So instead of Jared and I talking about it ourselves, we actually are going to have two special guests, Papa Clark and Dorsey O'Dell from Team Unknown Barbecue, come in, and they're going to handle the interview. And me and Jared kind of sit back and take the questions. So there has been no – we have not asked Papa Clark or Dorsey to provide us with any questions up front. So it's going to be it's like I handle all the guests on this show. It's going to be pretty blind. So be interesting to live on the other side of that. We're probably going to go around 30, 45 minutes with that, talk a little bit about the contest, talk about the two teams, some different things, may even open the phone lines for a couple of calls for anybody who wants to call in, chat with the four of us. So that's going to take us up to about 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, we're going to bring in Pitmaster of Everglades Barbecue Seasoning Team, or Everglades Seasonings Barbecue Team, Jimmy Brode. So Jimmy has been working on, along with Chris Sieben and all the fine folks over at Everglades Seasoning, they've been working on strictly a barbecue rub. For you guys that have been around it, Everglades has great products that are used in barbecue. They've got their regular rub. They've got their cactus dust. Excuse me. They've got the fin and feather, the different ones like that that do a really good job. But they actually wanted to go out and make a dedicated barbecue rub. And it's good. Had the chance to use it the last couple of contests. The flavor's great. The color's great. You can tell all the time, work, and effort that they put into it. So Jimmy's going to come on, talk to us about that. It won first place ribs at Lakeland Pig Fest 2 weekends ago. So we're going to catch up with Jimmy. Always good to have Jimmy on the show. He's always a blast, always a crowd favorite. So look for him around 8 o'clock. Around 8:30, we're going to bring in Robbie Royal from Rescue Smokers. I want to talk to him a little bit about, he made an appearance. If you know Robbie, you recognized him in the Father vs. Son barbecue pitmasters, Myron and Michael show. You saw Robbie congratulate Myron and some of those things, and Raymond, the guys from Rescue Smoker. So want to talk to him about what that was like to be at that contest with all the filming, et cetera. But then want to talk to him a little bit about a contest he has coming up in his hometown of Ashburn, Georgia. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that contest. Once again, I always tell you, you can't miss out on a contest put on by a Cook team. You know, those guys know what people want. They make sure folks are taken care of. And it's always a good time with great amenities and great hospitality. So we're always going to have another show for us. A couple things to bring up. I did see Myron and Michael this weekend at Winter Haven and told both of them that that last episode is the best episode of Barbecue Pitmasters that I have watched since the end of season one. I got back to the basics, boys and girls. Yeah, I mean, there was some ribbon between Michael and Myron, but it was all in good spirit. It was all for the cameras. I think it was great. But it got back to what Barbecue Pitmasters kind of built itself on, and that's competition barbecue. Definitely enjoyed that more than the jerk-off they had in season two. I can't remember his name, but just that horrible host, really, really bad, good smoking luck guy. Kevin Roberts, I think that was his name. You know, that guy was just a horrible host, horrible format. Season 3A, 3B, kind of the same thing. It's just gotten worse. I mean, we haven't talked since that whole mutton episode. That was absolutely horrible. Mutton's a pretty crappy meat to start with. And then the three folks we had on there trying to cook it were definitely nothing to write home about. So I really think that I hope the ratings showed it too. And my thing's going to be, are the ratings skewed? Is it going to be skewed because Myron got to see, you know, people got to see Myron cook, so that's why they tuned in? I don't think so, man. I think people watch it and rewatch it. That's the only episode of season two, season three that I would watch again. So when it comes up on reruns, if I see it, I will watch it again. It was that enjoyable. I thought that much about it. So hopefully they take note of that and this whole season forecasting that's just wrapping up. They maybe go back to that format a little bit because I think the 2 and 3 format's pretty worn out. And personally, I just don't like the fact that they go out to a barbecue contest now but don't let the folks participate in the contest. They just, you know, pretty much use the free venue to rally up a crowd and you know, cut down on their expenses. So anyway, that's my Pitmaster's take. Two things for us to talk about on my side of the fence. First is, you heard me talk about it the first show in January. You heard Greg Griffin talk a little bit about it. I lost a bet to Greg at the end of last year. I said Bubba Q would end up higher in the KCBS Team of the Year standings at the end of the year than True Bud. True Bud started out super, super hot. I didn't know those guys really well. They're great cooks. But I knew Bubba. Bubba, you know, he always comes on strong at the end. You know, takes him a little – not from a results point of view, but – from the beginning of the year point of view, takes him a little bit of time to get some contests under his belt and start putting in work and putting in those huge results that he always does. So I felt confident in taking him. I lost. The deal was, you know, all facial hair and all head hair had to go. Well, the head hair is not that big of a thing, but the facial hair, it's taking me a little bit to cut it off. But I do want to let Rempy know it will come off, Greg. I have been sick, had a couple things come up, kind of needed to keep it for a couple things, but we will get it taken care of. You will get pictures. You can use them however you would like on your show. I don't want you to think I'm welching out on the bet. It's just a little bit delayed. So let's put that to rest. I will say that by the time I show up at Sam's Club next weekend, it'll be freshly, freshly shaved. So there you go. That's that. Second thing to talk about is, as you may have saw if you watch our Facebook, after 5.5 years of rocking the crowd favorite Whiskey Bent logo, got a little letter from the Jack Daniel's Properties, Inc., out of California, which is really just a bunch of lawyers that try to protect their interest, as they like to say, with a cease and desist on our logo. Now, you guys read the letter. I posted it on Facebook. Never called out any specific trademark. You know, anything like that, just, you know, our marks, quote unquote, our marks. So, you know, got to looking at it, talked to them. You know, they were nice enough. I mean, if you look at the way they worded the letter, you know, they definitely weren't trying to, you know, trying to be assholes about it. You know, they're trying to be decent people. So I think we're just going to back, I mean, all they're really upset about, if you go look at the logo, you'll see this week, the guys spent a couple hours taking the logo down off Facebook, Twitter, website, all that stuff. That'll be a good reason to do a website redesign, actually, so I'm not too upset about that. But, you know, if you look at it, what they get upset about is the kind of the I call them the curlicues that are around the circle and the border. So we may go just as simple as taking the curlicues off and leave it like that. Or we may just take it as a chance to totally rebrand. I've had some really cool friends of ours, you know, come out either on Facebook or private messages or whatever and say, look, man, if you guys want a new logo, you know, I'll design one for you. You know, appreciate what you do for barbecue on the house. Just tell us what you want kind of deal. So we may just do that. We may take the chance to do that. Or we may settle on something like the Whiskey Bent in the Pit logo, which really has nothing that could resemble Jack Daniels except for, you know, the bottle shape, which last time I checked, Evan Williams looks like and Jim Beam looks like and everything else. So we'll get it figured out. But I if they had called within the first 6 months of us having it, great. That'd have been fine. Understand it. But, you know, to have 5.5 years worth of it, people recognize it, people like it, all those type of things, it's kind of a kick in the gut. But either way, we'll get through it. It'll work out. It'll look sharp. And we'll be happy with it. So one way or the other, we'll get through it, get everything changed out, get some new merch printed up, and go from there. But there is, if you see us at a contest and you want to go rogue, there is a limited supply of Old School Whiskey Bent Barbecue hats screen printed available. So just come over, grab us, and we'll get you hooked up, trying to get as many people wearing cease and desist merchandise as possible before we have to cut that off. So with that being said, I want to, before we go into this next segment, I want to thank a sponsor of the show, and obviously a close friend of mine, Adam Norman, over at Southern Bread Smokers. As we talked about the last couple of months, we've been collaborating pretty heavily on the new smoker line over at Southern Bread. We had two of them on site with us at Winter Haven this weekend. We had the Granddaddy and the Grand Champion. The Granddaddy was there just for show, really. Kind of as a marketing piece. We cooked everything but the chicken on the Grand Champion, and actually finally got one to give it its name and due. The chicken we're still obviously cooking on the GMG, another great grill there. But want to thank Adam over at Southern Bread. It's been fun. It's been nice to have so much input on a smoker and get it tweaked and get it where you want it to be. And we've seen, you know, good pickup from it. There was five teams at Pigfest cooking on them, really good. They're taking off. So if you're interested, reach out to myself or Adam. You can probably easiest way to get us right now. The website should be up this week. We're doing some finishing touches there, but just go over on Facebook, Southern Bread Smokers, drop us a line, or you can drop me one directly at Whiskey Bent on Facebook or WhiskeyBentBBQ@gmail.com. With that being said, I see the three dignitaries in the chat queue right now. Let's pull them up one at a time. Team co-founder with Ben Jared Hatcher. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, buddy?
Good, I'm man.
Wouldn't be any other place.
Absolutely. Let's get the two hosts in here, the two dignitaries tonight. That'd be old Papa Clark. You there?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready. Dorsey O'Dell.
Chad Ward, what's happening with you?
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. That you lunatic friends used to get me pumped up to get this show started, but now when I hear that old Dorsey O'Dell original, man, just the blood gets to pumping. It's always going to be a good show when you kick it off with that.
I like it. Now, Chad, you've got to tell me when this turns into the Unknown Barbecue Radio Show, so I can read my, you know, my intro here.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, you know, you guys, we talked about it. We talked about it after awards the other day. So what I'm gonna do is I'm actually gonna pour. I got this nice bottle of Crown XR that we broke open. I'm gonna pour myself one little drink out of it, left a little bit just for this occasion. Got that poured up neat right there in the old rocks glass.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn it over to Dorsey. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, friends. Now y'all are listening to the Unknown Barbecue Radio Show. Welcome to a Tuesday, February 5th, 2013 edition of the Team Unknown Radio Show with your host, Dorsey Bad Liver O'Dell, and co-host on the wagon, Papa Clark. Can you tell everybody, hey, Papa Clark?
Hello, everybody.
Without further ado, let me welcome to the show some good friends of the Unknown Barbecue family. and winner of this year's 2013 Smoke on the Water Barbecue Competition in Winter Haven, Florida. Pitmasters, Chadwick Ward and Jared Hatcher of Whiskey Vent Barbecue of Lakeland, Florida. How you doing, fellas?
Doing great, Dorsey. Thanks for having us on.
I'm doing good, my man. I tell you, I was listening to that song you did earlier. I actually listened to two of your songs. You're on Rainbow Recording, right?
Yeah, out of Key West, Rainbow Recording.
Rainbow Recording
out of
Key West. Listened to both of your songs. Listened to the Rub Bigsby song and the Whiskey Vent in the Pit radio show song. Good job on both of them.
Oh, God dang. Hey, Chad, what did you think about my intro there?
I do. I think you're spot on right now. I'm worried about my job, honestly.
Well, I wrote that, while I had a break from working construction and I was sitting on a stack of drywall and I said, you know what, I better write something. I better prepare a bit. And so that's what I've done.
I'm gonna tell you about the job, man. The pay sucks, but it's a good time.
Right. Oh yeah, I'm sure it is a damn good time. So the first question, I mean, we're interviewing y'all, right? That's how this whole thing's working.
Absolutely, man.
Well, so the first question I wanted to ask you and Jared, the Hatchet Man Hatcher, is how are y'all feeling after splitting wigs at Frank's contest in Winter Haven?
Jared, I'll let you start out.
Yeah, I'm feeling good, man. In fact, I was looking all over the websites and on the forums. I was out there on all the forums trying to find out if there's any contests happening Sunday and Monday anywhere around the country. Figured we could try to ride this wave. And I did find one in my neighborhood. There's one down in the cul-de-sac going on. I had a guy down there with a char grill. Gas-powered char grill down there he got from Home Depot, so I will be old GMD down there, and we went head-to-head. And he actually beat me on beef liver, but I took him down on the chicken wings.
Yeah, beef liver is a difficult cut, but chicken wings is actually more difficult, I guess you could say.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, man, I mean, I still woke up with a smile on my face this morning. And, it was a rough 2012. We didn't cook as many contests as we usually do. Didn't have any results that were really worth a damn. And, me and Jared had talked about it a couple times over the last couple of months. You know, like, man, did we just lose it? You know, have we just been, you know, are we just so out of touch with what's hitting now? You know, you sit there and you rack your head and you try to go through it and but then to kind of go out there in that field and be able to beat that caliber of teams. And another thing is, man, you know, we've always preached about Lakeland and the one we want to win. But dude, Frank's is not that far behind, man. That's the call where we got our first, that's the contest. We got our first call ever in backyard, third place brisket.
Right.
And it's a contest where we got our first pro first place ever, first place brisket. So it's always been near and dear to our heart, and there ain't a better contest organizer out there than Frank Smoes, and there ain't no better cooks meeting than a Smoke on the Water cooks meeting, especially this year with you on the intro. So, man, I'll say it still feels real good.
Oh, man. Well, I do appreciate it. Yeah, you go through every emotion at that cooks meeting. I'm telling you, you go from raise hell happy and talking about the kids and whatnot and shedding a tear here and there, and it's definitely a big contest. How many cook teams were at the contest this year?
57, I think. 57 teams, I believe. 56.
Well, now my second question to you was, I was wondering about how your chicken cook went. Was there any kind of, did a stick get thrown in your spokes? Did everything go off without a hitch? And in addition to that, if you could tell us the rub you used, the method, and the cook times, and the sauce, I'm sure the fans of Whiskey Vent Barbecue would appreciate that.
Well, yeah, within 5 to 10 minutes, you know what I mean, of a cook time.
We're leaving some of those details out, but what I will tell you is that the cook was going okay. I mean, everything was kind of hitting the marks and. But I'll tell you, there was a key point in it, and then I'll kind of turn it over to Jared, where we had been doing a lot of cooking a chicken to time. You know, we had a timeline. It should be like this for 30 minutes, like this for 45 minutes, like this for 20 minutes.
Right.
Well, you know, guys, depending on the weather outside, and even on a GMG, which, I mean, is just great for really keeping your fire, you know, your temp constant and where you want it to be, regardless of how many times you open it or what it's like outside. I mean, it's just going to chew more or less pellets. But we had noticed that sometimes it'd be a little bit drier than we wanted. So I didn't even realize that we were in kind of step three of the process, and I was working on getting ribs, you know, all foiled up and get all the mess in there with them. And I see Jared over there, the chicken cooker with a thermopin, starting to get down on these things. And then I'll turn it over to him. And I think it was kind of a key part in saving our chicken from really hurting us.
Right.
So, yeah, so we were kind of in the middle of our third step of the process. And like Chad said, I, for no other reason, I was bored or couldn't find the, you know, song on the radio or something. I decided I was a little fidgety and started sticking chicken with a thermopin, and I realized it was at the temperature we wanted. And it was about 30 minutes before turn in, maybe 30, 35 minutes before turn in. So I hollered over at Chad, you know, who was, you know, 2 yards away from me, and said, hey, we need to pull these chickens or they're going to get overcooked.
So y'all were threading the needle.
We were wondering if they were going to get done, and then we stuck them and said they're at the temperature we want. So we actually pulled them and we put some sauce on them and just to try to get a sauce, a little glaze to set on them, and they dropped in temperature. The internal temp dropped, and about a good amount. And then we were worried, will it get back up to the temperature we wanted? So so it was kind of a roller coaster ride there, and we actually decided, well, let's just pull one. We were talking about it. I told Chad, I said, I think they're done. I don't think we got a problem with them, even though they're not really at the temp we want. We pulled one of them. We bit into it. Our tongue started slapping our forehead, and we decided that's what we were going to put in the box.
Sweet. And that chicken played a big part in y'all splitting wigs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it obviously, you know, at least in my mind, I'm not a barbecue judge, but you know, in my mind, you know, a big part of it is having a good cook and feeling good and confident about what you put in the boxes. But then there is that whole separate part, which is you know, getting on tables where, you know, sometimes you get a tough table or maybe a not so tough table, and that's part of it too. I mean, we've all been there where we've won our table, but you know, finished, you know, 25th. So you know, that's part of it too.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Papa Clark's there, right?
Yes.
Well, Papa Clark is, you know, of course, our fans, your fans, have found out that we're going to do this interview today, and they've been sending Dad emails, Papa Clark emails, and they've had, fan questions to ask Whiskey Vent Barbecue, and Papa Clark's the one that's got these emails, letters.
That's right.
And, yeah, could you read off one of those, Papa Clark?
I can. You know, right after the contest, everybody knows that we've been buddies since the beginning, and they surrounded me, asked me questions, and I said, listen, just send me an email, fax it, or whatever, and I handed out some cards. And then I picked out one question here from a man named Damon Woolley from Lava, Florida. And here's his question, you know, like a yes or no, and you can answer if you want or not. But he heard that your secret to award women chicken is that you make sure your poultry has sexual relations before butchering it to have relaxed meat. Is that true?
Could you answer that question?
That is true. We actually asked for video evidence of it. And then move forward with the purchase. Now, I'll tell you what, it's expensive-ass chicken, but it definitely does happen, and it does help.
I'll be honest with you, you know, we're not really into watching chickens get it on, but, you know, we really asked for the video evidence because we used to not ask for the video evidence, and we were finding out that a lot of the chickens after they were done were smoking cigarettes, and that was just really messing up the meat.
Well, I tell you what, that's a question that's been floating around the circuit for years. And, of course, it's been a rumor, and I don't know who Damon Willie is, but, of course, he's contacted Papa Clark and asked us to get with you about that question. So, good. We finally cleared the air. Good deal, man.
Let me tell you about that guy, Dorsey. So, we had to get home Saturday night, so we, you know, would have loved to have stayed out there and whooped it up and partied it up, but we brought it back here to the headquarters, and we call it the headquarters because me and Jared only live about a tenth of a mile from each other. So we came back here and we had this bottle of XR that kind of the deal on that was David Kimbrough bought it for me when bought it for me and Nicole as a wedding present, and said, look, he bought a self one. Said, look, we can't bust either one of ours open till, you know, the other one of them wins a GC. So I said, all right, that's cool. Based on our results last year, I thought this was going to be the first damn 40-year-old age XR bottle in a long time. So we said, so Dave was like, man, yeah, yeah, me and Stephanie will come over to the house and we'll get some pizza and we'll break out that XR. Well, they roll up here at the house and they got Lydia, which is always a pleasure to see. But old Damon Woolley came with them, that old Live Oak superstar.
I'll be dang.
So we built us a little fire out there and broke out that bottle of XR, me and Damon and David, and put a little dent in her. So I thought it was real cool for Damon to get with Stephanie and David, catch a ride over here, and then Stephanie was sweet enough to take him back. And for you guys that like Facebook, go over there and if you haven't already, friend David Kimbrough or Damon Woolley, and take a look at that picture of Stephanie driving them back. That's a damn instant classic.
You know what? I saw that, Chad. I saw that picture, and it looked as if they were playing Angry Birds. I mean, was that what they were doing, or was they asleep?
Dude, it looked like either they were playing birds or acting in Zombieland.
My next question is, how about them ribs? Can you walk us through them ribs?
We get to talk about ribs a little bit. We were fortunate enough. Our ribs have been okay, and And I'll tell you, we've had some help not only with his products but with his tutelage a little bit from old that old Craig Sherry feller out there in Texas.
Texas, you know, pepper jelly.
Yeah, his rib candy, man. We use it at about two or three steps in the process, and it really kind of helps build some layers of flavor. But we talked back and forth, and our rib program wasn't that far off. We had been kind of stubborn last year, and we had stuck with the back ribs, even an FBA contest, and our meat supplier, Master Purveyors, got us a setup on some real pretty St. Louis style ribs. So, you know, he had them for me, and I was like, well, hell, maybe this is a sign. We'll cook them. And so we cooked them, and we cooked them in the SBS, which is, you know, last three or four times we have. And they actually turned out pretty nice between what we've been working on, and then we got to cook with Sledneck Steve Zara. He cooked our ribs at Lakeland. So, you know, Steve's been around competition barbecue a long time. And just hanging around that guy, you can pick up a ton of information. And watching him cook his ribs and some of the things that he did and this and that, you know, we kind of picked up and implemented, you know, a week later.
Yep.
So, Jared, you got anything you want to add to that?
No, I would just say that, you know, the ribs are, you know, something that, you know, we used to do pretty well at, and it seems like the rest of the field kind of passed us up over the past year. And, you know, so it's definitely been one that we've been working on. We've gone back and forth, back ribs, spare ribs, our St. Louis. I mean, you know, we've kind of, you know, been messing around. So, you know, we knew, or we hoped that if we could just turn in a rib that was, you know, decent, and it actually happened, you know, it ended up being the worst category we turned in, but it was high enough at 14th place that it was able to keep our points up. So, you know, we've still got some work to do on ribs for sure, but, you know, there's just so many good rib cooks out there. I mean, Team Unknown's one of the top ones in the FBA for sure.
Yeah, JW, he, I tell you what, he's what they call a taskmaster when it comes to them ribs. He's very focused, and he's like a pit bull. You got to show him a lot of love or he'll turn on you when he's doing that box. You know what I mean? But hey, another thing about the ribs.
I heard a rumor that he's able to get 37 ribs in a box. Is that true?
It's real close. It's real close.
You put spray glue on the outside of that box so it doesn't break when you slap it down.
That's how you do it.
Uh-oh, we just gave away something. But anyway, I don't make these questions up, and I'm not going to
say You got another question?
Right. There was another question that came in, and this one was interesting to me. And maybe Jared knows this. I know that Chad does. But
who's it from?
It is from a guy from Naples, and I have a suspicion that he was real close to Grant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, everybody always sees you with your goggles on, right?
Yeah.
And since you don't thermal pan your ribs, the question was that, it was a two-part question. Is your goggles prescription? And do you wear them to see the temperature variations in the meat during your cook?
Well, I'll tell you.
Are they thermal goggles? I guess is what the.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there's two lens types that I like. It's either the old school radium lenses, or it's the Bobby Bowden orange lens.
You had Bobby Bowden's on this time, didn't you?
And when you got them Bowden's on, that just lets you really not only break down the temp of the meat, but also the color spectrum.
That's what I was thinking.
So, I mean, to the naked eye, y'all just see mahogany. When I put those 1992 Oakleys on with the Bobby Bowden lenses, I see seven shades of colors. So, yes, there is a key there.
So that's like a competitive edge. That's like a... Mark McGwire wearing special glasses to keep hitting him home runs.
It is honestly a performing enhancing device.
Cool. Yeah.
You want to weigh in on that, Jared Hatcher?
Yeah, I mean, I think too that it's good for the audience to know that if there's any potential sponsors out there, Chad and I talked about it. He is willing to go with a full wellness mask. We got to get at least 50% coverage of sponsor stickers on that thing before we'll do the full change up. It does make it difficult to test the meat with the full welder's mask down.
Well, there you have it, friends. Proof's in the pudding. Grand Champion 2013 Smoke on the Water. The goggles ain't just for looks.
You know, one of the things before we get off of ribs, though, I will tell you is We knew they were cooked pretty well. They had good flavor. But one of those things, and we had gotten away from it in the past, just watch how much, if you put brown sugar with your foil, just watch what kind and how much you use of it. We probably got a little heavy-handed. And, one of the guys we got to thank, too, besides just me and Jared, was, we had David Kimbrough flying our wing this weekend, cooking with us. And David spent a good amount of time with a sauce brush, making sure all that excess sugar was off the bottom, because it all didn't melt down into the foil. So it's just one of those things, kind of as a tip. I always ask for guys to give up secrets when I'm on the end, and I wouldn't do anything different. So just one of those things. If you do have brown sugar or turbinado sugar in your rib foil, just make sure you're not going overzealous on it. You want all that to break down and steam into the meat, not be left there after a 30, 45-hour foil.
That's a great tip.
Yep, absolutely. Well, of course, moving on to pork, you want to tell us a little bit about your pork?
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Jared Hatcher talk about pork because he's kind of taking pork under his wing, and he's put some time into the injection and the sauce, and he plays a big role there. So I'm going to let Jared, but I'll tell you what, It's no doubt. You can go back and look over the history of Whiskey Bent Barbecue. We ain't like you boys. You boys came out of the womb pork cooks. We've had to earn that honest, man. We were like the 5'4" kid trying to make point guard when it comes to pork, man. It's been a son of a gun for us.
Well, you did a good job.
I'll tell you, the pork historically for Whiskey Bent has been that category where we just say to each other, let's try not to screw it up this contest. We've tried different things. It's probably been one that we've worked on maybe the most, and and we did put quite a bit of effort into it going into PigFest. Kind of had some, you know, between me and Chad and our northern arm of the operation, Matt Van, up there in Cleveland, Ohio, working on some different things. We went into PigFest with kind of a strategy on pork, and we ended up in 10th place out there in pork, which for us is huge. I mean, it's a good time to get called out at Lakeland for anything. To be pork for us was you know, really unheard of. If Vegas would had odds on that, somebody would have been rich.
It wouldn't have been us, though, because we damn sure wouldn't have bet on it.
Yeah, we'd have bet against ourselves. So we made some tweaks for Smoke on the Water, some minor changes. But to Chad's point, you know, we put a lot of work into the injection. You know, we've got, you know, a lot of ingredients going into our injection now. It's a good injection. It's an injection that you would, you know, taste. You know, you would drink it by itself. It's that good. We've been doing that. We've been really watching our temperatures on pork, making sure we're not overcooking it. You know, the tendency, you know, you can have a tendency to overcook that pork a little bit. So we're making sure that we're getting it cooked up to the tenderness that we want, but not overcooking it. And, you know, going with a good rub that's got some flavor, you know, putting pieces in the box that'll get, you know, show that bark and allow that rub to really, you know, hit whenever a judge tastes it. You know, we're going for that one bite barbecue. So we want, you know, we made some changes to, you know, all of the above: rubs, injections, sauces, everything that goes on the meat. So that first bite is, you know, the judge is really getting the full gamut.
Oh yeah. And to get a call at PigFest, that's
tough.
That's no easy feat.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, when it comes to that pork, if you ain't talked to the guy that's going to come next on the show, old Jimmy Brode with that Everglades rub that he's got.
Oh, yeah.
If you ain't talked to him, you may want to. Because for the listeners out there, these guys have put together a pretty serious rub, and it's been a delight for us on a couple categories.
Yeah, we haven't had it yet, but we're looking to get our paws on it and give it a taste.
Exactly.
He's been in the game a long time, and I know if he's putting it out, it's got to be good.
So I will say this real quick. When, you know, we're out there Smoke on the Water, I mean, you're up there, you know, you're competing against, you know, Rob Bagby, you know, Team Unknown, you know, Gitter Smoke, you know, all these good teams, Dana Hillis with Big Papa's Country Kitchen. I mean, you know, and we know that these are all teams that are great pork cooks and that we've struggled. So I'll be honest with you, the way they did awards at Winter Haven and they kind of called up the top 12, just getting called up in the top 12 in that field in pork, I've been fine if they'd have said Whiskey Bent 12. I mean, you know, that's,
yeah.
That's something. And when they finally got down to the last two, I mean, it was really, you know, kind of a shock and surprise for us. And, you know, at least made us feel good about the work we kind of put into it.
Well, you know, and two things there. One is, if they wouldn't have called all 12 up at once, it probably would have took – when they got done with fifth place pork, it probably would have took me and Jared 5 minutes to get to the stage, because we probably would have been back at the trailer either breaking something down or getting another drink.
Right.
You know, it's one of the last two contests have been two of the first contests where when we got done with pork, we kind of said, man, that's pretty good. You know, and used to, we would always take our crappy pork cooking skills and say, well, who cares about pork? It's just a sauce contest. Yeah, that was just a couple guys that don't got it figured out yet that are kind of trying to make themselves feel better about it. But but you could tell both of the last two cooks, it was like, okay, man, it's got that flavor. It's got that moisture. And one of the tips that you know, to throw out there is when you're, you know, you obviously are cooking to texture on that money muscle on different to the pork butt and the, you know, and that cone meat and this and that. But you always have to remember, and here's where I think we were screwing up, was thinking about even if you sit and let that thing vent for 10, 15 minutes, you're still going to get a rise in temperature. So, you know, you just got to make sure you give yourself enough side of air when you pull that out that, you know, it's still going to be that nice consistency that you're looking for.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I really thought that was cool what Frank did at Smoke on the Water, calling the 12 teams up there. Not only did it save on time, but, I mean, it's always cool when you can pay respects to the Cook teams that are busting their ass, you know, all the money,
yeah,
the time off work, this, that, and the other, and just get them up there just to give a little recognition, you know, and they get to stay up there longer than just the one walk.
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, I mean, let's talk about Port for a second. You know, congratulations to Sean. When we were sitting there, and it was me, Jared, and Sean from Boca Barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Sean, this is yours. And he's like, man, I've never won a first place. I said, I've never won a first place category pro division. I said, well, man, I said, I sure hope you get it, not us.
Well, he did that,
man. And lo and behold, man, and I'll tell you what, Sean's one of those guys, man. He comes out there with that lane 60. He watches his DVDs and babysits that baby all night. Just a great guy. He kind of got into competition barbecue when us and y'all did. You know, up there just, you know, trying to bust heads in backyard, and then obviously getting better and working his way up. But I was super proud for him, super happy for him to see him get that.
Yeah, that's I'm sure that was a rush for him, because he's been in the game for a while. You know, just like you say.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, man, it's one of those things. I respect the heck out of one-man cook teams. Even this weekend, I mean, me and Jared have done this together for a long time. But even having that extra set of hands, like with Kimbrough this weekend, man, you know, when you've got a good trained pitmaster like that, it's another set of eyes. It's another guy to say, maybe this taste ain't right, maybe that look ain't right, you know. It's one of those things, and that's one of the things I think that's a key to y'all's success. I mean, is, you know, between you, Papa Clark, JW, and old Sugarfoot, you know, you've got a lot of people to bounce things off of.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think we do have one more question, or a question regarding the pork. Papa Clark, do you have a question regarding the pork?
Yes.
An email that you received, I believe.
I was asked about your source for your pork. And they just wanted something in general. Mainland, United States, Europe, Canada, trotters, runners, Smithfields.
Berkshire.
No, for us, we use Master Purveyors has a Vanden Rose Duroc pork butt. And we've been using that, Jared, you know, how long? Well, you know, at least the last 3 or 4 contests. That's what we've been cooking. And Sean usually gets us some really nice big ones, and they're marbled really well. They seem to take the injection pretty well. So that's what we've been using, and we don't plan on straying away from that too much.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, Papa Clark and I was talking about it before we called, but hell, we just want to pay some respects to the world heavyweight champion of pork butt cooking, which is the man that made the miniseries, Mr. Thomas Hendry.
Dude.
I mean, for real.
Dude, that's the only reason we took second place pork, because he wasn't there.
I mean, hey, when you win pork as much as that guy, I mean, it's not a fluke. He's kind of a big deal.
Dude, right. Thomas Hendry is a pork cooking legend.
Yep.
I mean, that guy should just show up at Memphis in May and just cook pork shoulder.
He should.
I mean, because I mean, honestly, guys, think about it. As a competitor, when he shows up, you're like, boy, my pork better be airtight just to get in the top 3 today. and I'll tell you what, man, he's got old Josh. He's got old Josh got it all figured out, too, you know?
Oh, yeah. Boy. If I could be a fly on the wall in his cook trailer when he was doing his pork, I'm telling you, that'd be like money in the bank.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely the man. How about your brisket? I mean, your last turning box. Could you tell me about the brisket and how that all went?
You don't remember a conversation me and you had at 8:00 on Saturday morning, do you? when I asked you if you had 8 slices and how you thought an all burn inbox would do in the FBA.
Yeah.
I guess it did pretty damn well.
Oh, man.
Because I'll tell you what, me, Jared, and Kimbrough tasted both of those flats. And, man, we all made a run, not for the beer cooler, but the water cooler.
Oh,
Lord.
Man, them things were so dry when Jerry put that knife through them the first time, it puffed up smoke. So I don't.
Yeah, our brisket needed what we call some last minute tweaking prior to going in the box to get it back to where we normally like it. We cooked two briskets, like Chad said, and neither one of them were real impressive. So we had to do some quick surgery, some last minute surgery on them to make them at least presentable to the judges.
Well, was that the cause? Was that a cause of another one called in and wanted to know if it was true if you brine your pellets in whiskey a week before your comp? Would that have anything to do with the, you know, and what brand of whiskey were you using?
Well, sure as hell ain't Jack Daniels. So it's and Dickel's too fine a whiskey to be marinating your pellets in. So we got this old boy down in Lake Alfred. He likes to call it whiskey, but it's just old swill. And we'll drop a couple pellets in there, get that extra little seasoning.
All right.
He's trying to brand he's trying Everglades Skunk Ape whiskey aged in mangrove barrels.
That's right. Well, if you were still a backyard cook and didn't know what you know now, not being to adapt to what happened with that dry brisket could have sunk your ship.
Yeah, it definitely could have. And, you know, and one of the things, and it's one of the calls we made, is we kind of knew it never had the feel we wanted it to. And so we all kind of made an agreement, look, you know, usually we wouldn't go to cutting a brisket until an FBA timeline, probably 140, 145.
Yeah.
But instead, Jerry started getting surgical on that thing about 115, 120, and we realized how bad off it was. Thank goodness we had some good au jus and a couple things to add in the au jus. And, man, it's amazing what can happen when you just dunk brisket in really, really hot au jus and pray over it.
Yeah, that was another question that we had was, Is there any traditions at these comps or superstitions that you have that you roll with at every comp? You know what I'm saying?
I would have to say, and Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the only thing is there's probably a couple small ones. But, you know, you always got to have, you know, for me, it's always got to be a bandana towards. It's always got to be some Oakleys. But I would say the only thing that we really maybe have as a team is you always got to do that morning wake up, that reveille.
There was a woman that stopped me from the Tilted Kilt and asked me, who plays the bagpipes on your team, and how'd you learn to play them?
Yeah, is that you playing the bagpipes on Saturday morning, Chad?
No, Jared. Man, that's just the old block rocker playing off Jared's iPhone.
No.
Oh, okay. Damn, man. We thought it was you playing in pipes, man. Hell,
come
I didn't
on,
know
man.
If
you
was
you
in
talk,
the,
you
went to Lake Wells High School or something.
Come on, dude. You're
anybody that knows Chad knows that horn you're hearing ain't bagpipes. That's him getting his first nose blow in the morning.
Or
he's
teeth
blowing out those nostrils and getting them ready for the day.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
You guys did a great, great job and beat a lot of power hitting teams out there. Myron was out there. Those boys over there at Bubba Chuck's ain't no joke either.
No.
Remember last year they were like just a fraction of a point from winning it.
Well, you know, and Dana, you know, talked to Dana beforehand. I said, you got a shot at this thing today? He's like, oh, we had a good cook, but I can never go back to back. He said, I don't. He goes, that's one thing at contest. He goes, I can never win them back to back. I'm thinking, oh, you sandbagging son of a gun. And then, boy, I was worried about you, Papa Clark. I heard you when they called reserve off, and Kimber will tell you, man, I couldn't look towards the stage. He was looking towards the stage, and I was kind of turned away, looking at him, talking to him and Jared, and I kept hearing, and it must have took Frank 45 seconds to get it out. I mean, dude, Krager Electric got like 9 plugs before the damn Pro Division Grand Champ got called. There's Frank Smoes, 2013 Pro Division, Krager Electric. Pro Division. Y'all know Krager Electric. Thank God for them in the Pro Division. And you're like,
come on, Frank.
Come on,
and
Frank.
And I would just like to say, too, that thank you guys for doing the rundown this week. And also, you guys are obviously right up there on the top of the list of any teams we took against. I mean, you guys had a great year. I mean, just did amazing things out there at the World Food Championship in Las Vegas. So, you know, you guys are a great team. There's just a lot of great cooks out there. And I don't think people really understand how hard it is to just be in the top 10 at these things. And then especially to win it and to win it. A lot of things have to fall together. A lot of it is the cooking, but a lot of it is, you know, also just it being your day. But, you know, you guys and Rub and Damon Woolley and Gitter Smoked and, you know, the list goes on and on out there.
Don't forget,
you know, Jack Soul South. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's just so many great cooks, and you guys are one of them. Team Unknown, great, great friends. You know, we're honored any time to be next to you guys, which we are. Only next to you guys, it seems like, at Lakeland and Winter Haven. So maybe that's the tradition we need to start.
Well, that's because they don't allow it in three counties. I mean, hell, I mean, I remember that contest they used to have down there in damn Hardee County, and it was right next to the jail, and I think me and JW shared a cell that night. I mean, they won't, and dude, you know it ain't happening in Sheryl's County. Hell, we're never allowed to go back there. I mean, she would definitely not put us next.
That's why I think it's Katie by the doors for Las Vegas this year.
Buddy, I'll tell you what, we were fortunate enough, you know, and I'll be honest with you, Papa Clark, I was looking at the list of qualifiers that came up, what was it, Thursday? And I looked at the contest me and Jared had planned on cooking. I was like, well, damn, you know, there's Venice that's a qualifier. There's Lakeland's gone and passed. And then there's Winter Haven. I was like, so that gives us two contests out of all these qualifiers to get out of. But, damn, I sure would like to get back there. And, you know, sun just happened to shine on us at the right time. And, man, we can't. We go and cook in Vegas every year anyway, so – it looks like there may be two trips out to Vegas this year because it's going to be hard to pass up on that Ronnie Cates contest at the end of October with $100,000 on the line and a brand new Dodge truck.
Oh, man.
And I know we've got quite a bit to plan for, but I do need you guys to start greasing the wheels of Civil War Steve and see if he's able to pull tandem barbecue trailers out there to Vegas.
Hey, if Civil War Steve's working, if Civil War Steve's listening right now, he's about to go out to the shop and start working on a damn tandem axle.
That's it.
I mean, we can
get
him out and
do his cigarettes, he'll do it.
Yeah, and all the locations of the Flying J's on the way out.
That's
absolutely
right.
Dude, tell him we'll get him the frequent flyer card out there at the Flying J. We'll get him treated like Obama at every Flying J.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Chad, for letting us interview you on and Jared Hatcher, the Hatchet Man Hatcher, on your show.
Dorsey, can I say one more thing before we wrap up?
Yeah.
One of the things I want people to know is, you know, as much as I'm kind of the guy that's out there all the time on Facebook and on the radio show and this and that, me and Jared started this thing together. We've been cooking together, you know, since we started this thing in 07. And Jared Hatcher is just as much, if not more, of the reason for our success and the things that we've had than I am. And I feel like sometimes because Jared, it's just Jared's personality. I'm loud, outgoing, never met a stranger. Jared is kind of that background guy. When you get to know him, he's probably one of the funniest guys with the driest sense of humor you've ever met. And sometimes I feel like he gets looked over a little bit. Yeah, when we do stumble upon some success. So I just wanted to get that out there for the folks that don't know Jared as well as they know me. Whiskey Bent Barbecue wouldn't be without the both of us. So
I agree 100%.
I appreciate you, buddy, and I feel like that was a real Folgers moment there. But
serious. And I thought, man, I was waiting for Dorsey to cue up some slow guitar music.
Dude, I would have loved for him to. I would have loved for him to kick in some Bret Michaels. Every rose has its thorn, right then.
I appreciate it, man. And yeah, we it's been fun, and we have a great time doing it. And I think just wrapping up too, I'd like to say that you know, you guys, Team Unknown, you guys are awesome. You know, there's a lot of teams out there that do it and do it right. You guys do it right and make it fun for everybody. I mean, anybody that's been to a contest with Team Unknown there goes over and has fun at the Team Unknown tent. So thank you guys for being awesome, and thank you, Chad, for the kind words. I appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely, brother. We'll talk at you soon.
All right. Well, Ray Zell, y'all, and I'm going to be listening to the rest of the show. Looking forward to hear Robert Roll and Jimmy Rhodes.
Are you boys at Apopka this weekend?
We are.
Well, good luck, man. We're taking the weekend off. Y'all are doing Sam's Club, right?
We're not sure about
Sam's Club for us.
No Sam's Club for y'all.
No, sir. But we will be in Apopka.
All right, excellent. Well, we will not be there, but I know our buddy David Kimbrough will be. And Sam's Club, we got to fly without Jared. He's got a little 4-day family vacation that weekend, so looks like me and Kimbrough are going to cook under the old Whiskey Vent banner over there and see what we can do. So, hey, that's
just
good.
Just
keep Papa
on
Clark.
Speed dial, Chad.
Papa Clark, if you're not cooking the local Sam's Club, I'm already scheming. If we were fortunate enough, we may have to take you to Tennessee with us.
All right, man. I'm liking that, buddy.
I got frequent fire miles. I may even have to put you up in the front of the plane.
That's awesome. I've never been there.
You never been in the front? Well, by God, I just got to go out and finish in the top six. I got to put you in that first class seat.
Man, I mean, I was by the prop in a cargo plane one time in the military.
No, man, we go get you up there getting fed fine scotch for a 2-hour plane ride.
I'm gonna hold you to it. You guys get it done.
All right, guys. Hey, good luck in a Popkin. Dorsey, Papa Clark, thanks for coming in and turning the tables on us. It was a hell of a time and a blast.
You know it, buddy. Thanks again, and raise hell.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. There we go. We had Dorsey O'Dell and Papa Clark coming in and doing the interview on myself and Jared. And always good to hear. Jimmy Brode, I just dropped you. Would you please call back in on accident when I was clearing the queue? So anyway, Jimmy Brode should be calling back in here in a second. While we're waiting on Jimmy, you heard me mention it a couple of times while we were breaking down kind of the cook from last weekend. Texas Pepper Jelly. Craig Sherry over there, TexasPepperJelly.com. Guy's got a great lineup of products. His rib candy, you know, we've gotten now where we use it on three categories. It's used on chicken, it's used on ribs, and it's used on pork butt. On ribs, it's used damn near three times. Chicken is used once. Pork butt is used once. But great flavors. It helps you build another layer of flavor without a bunch of stickiness or goopiness. It's just real good. If you've never tried an injection either, maybe something you want to do. But go over there. Craig carries it. Or if you're over there at thebarbecuesuperstore.com getting your sauces and different things, you can also add it in your basket over there. So make sure you give Craig's products a try. Also, if you like jellies, not only is it good around the house just for, you know, toast and stuff like that, but we have found just a tablespoon or two goes a long way in your sauce if you're looking to build that other layer of flavor. So make sure and go over there and check it out. Craig's a hell of a cook. He's going to be on the show here in the next 3 weeks talking about some things. But just go check him out, TexasPepperJelly.com. With that being said, let me bring in the man that's trying to take over the barbecue rub world, Jimmy Brode. Jimbo, what's up, brother?
Raise hell, huh? How about that?
Dude,
man,
hey.
How'd you get those guys on there?
Dude, you know, we got to talking afterwards, and Papa Clark says, man, I can't wait to listen to the show Tuesday night. I was like, you know, I said, that's going to be kind of lame if I just have Jared come on and we kind of talk back and forth about it. And Dorsey was standing there, and I said, man, so what about you two guys come on and break us down as hosts? You know, you guys,
you know,
and both of them, like, hell yeah, man, that'd be a damn good time. And so that's how that kind of got all worked up.
How do you not be envious of that, man? I mean, those guys, you got your brothers, your dad, the whole family comes out, you know, and they and socialize together, have a good time together. Man, I wish my brother and my dad had come out and cook with me. And, you know, they got things going, and they just don't see the fun in it, and it doesn't happen. But, man, those guys got a heck of a thing going on there. And how about you, man? Grand champion. Congratulations, man.
Boy, Jimmy, let's not fool anybody, man. We needed it. 2012 was a tough spot in the road, brother. You know, but you know, once again, you know, it kind of made us get our heads down and focus and make some changes and do some things. You know, and it paid off. I mean, no offense, I kind of wish you and Mike would have. I know Mike was there, but I kind of wish you'd have been there. Just from the point of view of we hold you in that
Everglades.
Same. We kind of hold you in that same highlight of, you know, top-end cooks that we've got down here in the FBA.
Well, I had some stuff going on with Everglades, and I usually cook that with Mike, and he had some other stuff going on and had family wanting to go up there. And it just I had made plans to go to the Willie Nelson concert with a good close friend of mine, and, of course, that concert got canceled. We ended up at the dog track. We had a good time, though.
Buddy, I'll tell you what. I went all the way to Panama City once. Me and two buddies for a Willie Nelson concert, and that son of a bitch got canceled. But boy, did we raise hell on Panama Beach for 2 days.
We had a good time. We had a good time, but I was missing you guys. I really was. I was missing you guys. I did some stuff on Friday for Everglades, and then Saturday morning we got out of there and went up there, and I was thinking about being there in Winter Haven. You know, we've got this rub, and it's exciting. We spent just a little over a year on it. You know, Chris, you know, and Seth, the owners of Everglades, you know, they don't want to just jump right in 2 feet with stuff. And they said, all right, you know, work on it and let's see where we go with it. And it's an expensive rub. It's got some expensive product in it. But I found out, boy, I learned a lot about rubs. You know, I learned a lot about making rubs and, you know, why rubs are what they are. And, you know, why it's hard to get a good rub, because the products to make a rub really good are expensive.
And I completely agree. And it's one of those things that, I remember you telling me about it 6 months ago, saying, you know, hey, we've been into it for a while now, working on this rub, and we think we keep getting closer every month, which is a good thing. But, you know, and I think it's kind of amazing, too. You know, if you look at Everglades and you look at their line of products, you wouldn't know the resources that they have. I mean, me and you've talked about it personally. You know, the PhDs that are on staff, the folks that just really understand flavors. And it's super impressive. Because if you've ever met Chris, he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. But he doesn't come off. He's a simple guy. He doesn't. He just likes the simple things in life. He doesn't come off as that complex guy. But Everglades has turned into kind of such a complex and well-run company. It's really cool the resources that are there in Sebring. You know.
Well, you know, Chris is in agriculture. He's an agriculture businessman, and Chris is a businessman, and so is Seth. And those guys, they're not going to do anything that's not going to be something that will eventually become successful. They don't want to get involved in something that's just a waste of time. So we really had to talk about this before we could take off, because, you know, what they make now is a seasoning, and it's an end product. It's a seasoning. It's just like, you know, it's just a hopped up salt and pepper, and their products are salt based, and to come out of the box with a sugar based product that's a dry rub marinade you put on your meat before you put it in the cooker was real different.
Real different animal, sure.
Right, right. And there's a lot involved. You gotta really pay attention to, you know, anti-caking compounds and how they affect the flavor of the meat and how they affect the flavor of the rub. And, you know, the part that was interesting to me is going into this and getting a sample from the food chemist, and you stick your finger in your mouth and you stick it in the rub and you make your finger wet and you put it in your mouth and you're like, wow, that tastes good. And then you fire up the the GMG and you throw a rack of ribs on there and you cook it and it comes out and you're like, wow, that's not what I expected. And then you start over. And so it's not something that, you know, you see all these guys come out with seasonings and this and that. This is not something that, you know, we just went to some seasoning place and bought something that was made and put our name on it. We made this rub, and it's something that we're proud of.
Well, you know, and I think that's a good point, Jim. You know, a lot of people, when they get some brand recognition, I guess I would say, they'll go to a co-packer, and a co-packer will have 10 or 15 blends, right?
Right.
And they'll say, hey, let's put your name on it, and let's, you know, ride the notoriety trail. And that's so far away from what you guys did. It was that, and I think it's cool that they had somebody that, as long as you've been in the business and the success you've had, you probably, and I'm going to say a guess here, Jimmy, I would say in your competition barbecue career, you've probably tasted or cooked with 50 to 75 commercial rubs.
Easy. Yeah. And I mean, I started off, I used to be like that new cook starting out there that thinks that he has to make his own rub and to get the flavor that I want. The thing that was hard for me to go ahead and accept is these companies that have made these gourmet rubs. And, you know, there's a big difference between a rub off the shelf and a gourmet rub. And it was hard for me to accept the fact that these guys had done their homework, and it was just cheaper and better for me to buy something that was what I wanted than
right.
to try to go and make a rub, buy all the raw products. You know, everybody knows how to, I mean, everybody's jumped on old Dr. Barbecue's website, and he's got a rib rub recipe there, and you can, it's a good recipe, but it doesn't
Or Chris Lilly pork rub.
Right.
You know, yeah.
So here I am, you know, I tell you a funny story. I've never cooked baby back ribs. I've always cooked spares and St. Louis style ribs. That's from the beginning. I wouldn't tell you how to cook a baby back rib, but during the process of building this rub, I was going to Sam's all the time, and I was buying those 3-packs of loin back ribs. So that's how I was testing this rub. I was using that product just because it was the first thing I ran into at Sam's. It was pork, and it was easy to do. And I grab it, and they kept well. I put them in the freezer, and I could pull them out, and I could cook 3 at a time.
Yep.
And that was kind of what I was doing. I was comparing it against other rubs on the market.
Yeah.
So when I got up there to Lakeland, I thought, you know, why not stick with what I'm doing here? And Dennis and Frank are looking at me like I'm out of my mind. They said, you're not cooking those. You're not going to cook those loin back ribs to turn in. I said, yeah, that's what I'm going to cook. Dennis, like, Jimmy, why you do this stuff? Why are you doing this? Let's just cook with what we know, man. And I said, you guys don't understand. I've been practicing these ribs for 6 months. They're going to be good. You're going to like them. And, of course, you know, we ended up with the first place ribs. And, you know, I'll tell you, I was disappointed in the other calls, but I probably got what I deserved. We were so ate up with we were really covered up this year with Everglades fans and people in there with the vending. And a couple of the products got away from me. Pork got away from me and brisket got away from me. I was a little disappointed in the chicken, but, you know, the ribs, I kind of downplayed them from the beginning because I thought they were that good, and they were. So I was pretty excited about that first place call.
No, and that's an awesome call. In that field to win ribs, that's a definite killer. Would you say, kind of going through this whole process, Jimmy, it makes you respect more of the people that have been long term and true, you know, rub manufacturers, the Plowboys, the OBQs, you know, the guys that have products that, you know, they put out there, you know. OBQ to me, I've probably bought 7 or 8 OBQ products. And, man, every one of them has a different flavor, a different consistency. But they're just good. You know what I'm saying? You can tell there was some thought threw into it. It wasn't some guy that took 7 or 8 seasonings, tossed the shit together, and said, hey, put a label on it, let's go. You know, have you noticed by going through this process that it's made you have an appreciation for those folks that have made a living or a second career out of making barbecue rubs?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've learned a lot. I mean, you go and you start putting, you start talking to the food chemist. Okay, this is what we want to do. And what happens is a couple of things can happen. The product can get muddled. It can get muddled with. You can really just overwhelm yourself. So you have to take little steps. And at the end of the day, it's got to be marketable. It's got to be something that you can economically make, put it in a bottle, and sell it.
Yeah,
you know,
it'd not be $12 for a small shaker, yeah.
Right, right. I mean, we're looking at like $12 a pound instead of a small shaker. So we're somewhere around 12 ounces, you know, for between 10 and 12 bucks for 12 ounces. We really haven't, and to tell you the truth, we haven't even come down to the exact figures. We're working on that. And it's a different animal than I'm used to. I rebuild aircraft engines for a living, and it's, you know, I look at the market. I know what the market comes, and there's the product. You know, the parts are going to be what they are. Where when you're putting together a rub, well, the guy says, you know, the food chemist says to me, well, this is great, but you know, if we can pull a little bit of this out of there, it's going to make the rub a little more economical to buy. And then you have to make that decision. Now, wait a minute. You know, hold on. That's what's making that beautiful color. We need to keep that. You know, that's one of the neatest things about that rub. And I know you've got to play with a little bit is the color that it puts on the meat. It's just got a beautiful, beautiful red color.
No, it gives you that mahogany color without a whole hell of a lot of work that you usually have to do to get it, you know?
Right, right.
Now,
right.
You know, one of the things, Jimmy, that I've talked to folks about on the show before is there are certain rubs out there that are called power rubs, like a Bad Byron's butt rub.
Right.
You know, been out there forever, has no sugar in it. It's really just a rub, and Byron says, add whatever amount of turbinado or brown sugar you want to it. Is Everglades a power rub, or is the sugar already in there?
No, the sugar's in there.
Okay.
And that was a tough thing because sugar causes problems.
Yeah.
Sugar is you have to add anti-caking agent because sugar will clump up, and then sugar will also cause the color to exit the product, you know, over a period of time. So you're taking a chance. But what we're looking for is we're looking for a product that's an all-purpose boom. You can pull it. You can pour it right out of the shaker onto the meat and use it and not worry about over seasoning the product. And you know, I'm not like some guys. I don't load my ribs up the night before with rub.
No.
You know, I get up, I check my meat about 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when I rub my ribs. You know, I want about a 3 hour dry marinade on those ribs before they hit the cooker, you know. And you know, and then I dust them a little bit before they go on. I applied three times. I applied that rub to the ribs 3 hours before, pretty heavy, and then I dusted them dry right before they went on. And then, you know, at the end when I applied my sauce, I also rubbed them again one more time. The thing that was a little bit of a thing, what I was concerned about the most was how much heat do you add? You know, you got to add some heat. You know, and it was one of those things, well, hold on a minute. We can just let them add the heat. Well, wait a minute. Now we're going back to that same thing. We want to have an all-purpose rub. We don't want somebody to have to add something. We want it to be awesome right out of the pan. Right. So, you know, we took a chance, and I think it worked out pretty good because most people out there are using a sweet sauce, and it complements, that heat complements everything, and it works well. So that it's got a lot of sweet. It's got a lot of really bold flavors in there, and it backs up with a little bit of heat, and it doesn't hit you right off the bat. It backs up with it, and it's just everything I ever would want. And you know, I stand behind it. It's awesome, and you know, I think that within the next 3 years, it's going to be you'll probably see it on shelves and stores. Hello.
No, I'm listening.
Okay.
So what's the distribution channel going to look like for the barbecue guys? Is there going to be one, or are we going to have to wait for that general release kind of to the publicists and sandwich clubs and out of the world that we get most of our Everglades product from now?
Well, right. I mean, you're going to be able to get it off of our website probably If you call, it's not on the website right now, but if you call to order it, you could probably buy it.
Okay.
You know, we've probably got, you know, a couple hundred pounds of it packaged back there right
should,
now.
Should they reference Whiskey Mint Barbecue Radio?
We can probably hook you up, buddy. I'll send some home with Dave Kimbo.
No.
Good luck getting it.
Yeah, exactly. Kimbo will be hoarding that stuff, man, like there ain't no tomorrow. I know him.
But, you know, it's something that was really hard for me to understand when I first got involved with Everglades, and is, you know, shelf space in a grocery store isn't free.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal. And
it's a big investment. That's what people don't realize.
Right.
I mean, coming from the grocery store business, the amount of money, I can only imagine what Chris Sebring and his partners had on the line when they got Publix and some of these companies to agree to put them on the shelf the first time. We had Matt Barber a couple weeks ago talking about it with his line of sauces. I mean, you're kind of mortgaging a good part of your life savings, hoping that your product can hit.
These guys fly to Bentonville quarterly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have to. They're planning a trip right now. It's next week. They're going to Bentonville.
Yep.
And, you know, you have to go out there and you have to present the product. You have to present what you got. And
Jimmy, as a guy that's been in 100 airports in my professional career, probably one of the shittiest airports, XNA, to ever fly into. And there ain't a damn thing to do there besides go win business at Walmart.
Well, you know, and Chris talked to me about it. He said, Jimmy, everybody on the plane going there is going to sell their product to Walmart. He said, and when everybody leaves, they just got done pitching there. And, you know, I've learned a lot talking to these guys. And, you know, Chris, you know, how do you ask for a better guy to partner up with? I mean, in Lakeland, if you came over there, he was slinging pork sandwiches and ribs and, I mean, right there helping me. Help me vend and put money in my pocket.
One of the things that sold me on that guy was your class in May. You know, here's the owner of Everglades cooking us breakfast and lunch and dinner. Are you kidding me?
And
don't forget, I got his commitment here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have him on the show. You're going to have to go down there and hang with him at the office. Guys, it's kind of funny. Jimmy was there when we were having the conversation. I said, Chris, I really like to have you on the show. He said, I ain't much of a talker. This, and I said, look, man, I'll walk you through it. We'll have a good time. You know, no big deal. I said, but people would love to hear the story about how this guy started. I mean, you're talking about a company based out of Sebring, Florida. You know, some good old boys that's got national and worldwide distribution.
You know, and
that's a hell of a story to tell.
And this product goes back to World War II.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a lot. And if you just knew all the product that they send to Afghanistan and Iraq to the soldiers over there and the letters that they get, you ought to see the stuff on the wall. You really should come and visit the facility there in Sebring.
You know, these guys are
proud of it. And,
you know what we may do for that night? Is I've got a device coming in that'll allow me to do a two-way feed, so I could have somebody here in the studio doing audio with me.
Right.
Maybe when that comes in, I'll come down to Sebring and we'll do the show from down there for a night.
Yeah, we can do it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the place. I mean, they've got all the stuff. I mean, computers, phones, whatever you need, Chad.
All I need is an internet connection. I can get in and we'll go make it happen.
Okay. All right.
Some of the questions in chat right now, we're going to get back to the rub here in a second. Is there going to be another Jimmy Brode class this year?
there's not going to be one in May.
Okay.
I've got a senior and a junior in high school, and there's some guys out there that have some really good classes right now. And, you know, they're making some money at it. And I want to do something, but I think we're going to do it biannually right now until further notice. I would love to do it, but I got to give a little bit back to my family right now. And,
no, absolutely.
People don't realize the amount of time that's that's put into something like that is it's not just that weekend. It's 3 weeks before and 3 weeks after.
Absolutely. And you got just a treasure of a family between Michelle. She's always been there supporting you. And you've heard me say this numerous times. Jeremy and Nicholas are two of the finest young men I've met on the planet. Actually, some of those graduation dates, I'd like to for me and Nicole to get down there and be there for that. Because I really love those two boys and got a lot of respect for them. They are two of the most polite kids I've ever met. And always willing to help and always willing to take care of you. And that just shows good upbringing, you know?
Well, I appreciate that, Chad. I really do. And, you know, those guys are an example of kids growing up around this, you know, this family of barbecue. And, we got a Popka this weekend. And, you told me that Unknown's going to be there and then All Racked Up's going to be there. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, how many good guys are out there that are cooking barbecue in the FBA right now?
Yeah.
I mean,
a ton of them.
You could probably take that list, and I'd say, you know, 60% of them could win, and nobody would think twice about it.
I looked at it. Chuck came by our site on Saturday morning, the organizer of a podcast. I said, Chuck, let me see your list. And I got to looking at it, and I started laughing. He said, what's so funny? I said, there's 30 teams on this list that could win grand next weekend.
Sure.
He said, are you kidding me? I was like, no, I was like, this one's one up team. This one's one up team. This one's dude. You know, you got the. Here's the thing. You've got all the guys that have won numerous grands, and then you've got the Jim Elsters of the world that have been just beating up top five every weekend.
Right.
And are due
right
for
there.
One. You know what I'm saying?
Jim reminds me a lot of myself in 2007. In 2006, I was bumping third place. I was the third place king forever. It was killing me. I just could never. But once he breaks over that top, watch out, because he's going to probably bump a few in a row.
He's going to beat us over the head with it.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And,
no, I completely agree with you. So you're cooking a pop? This are you cooking Sam's Club?
No, I'm not cooking Sam's Club.
Awesome.
I'm sorry.
I hate to miss you, Jimmy. that's another good team out of the field there.
Yeah, I got some other plans that I'm looking at later in the year. I've actually looked at that Ronnie Cates contest out there a little bit. And,
right.
I'm looking in Tennessee and Alabama and then also South Carolina. We're going to try to slip up out of the state a little bit a few times this year, but I mean, Chad, you know, we're not going to be that 15, 16 contests a year team.
Right.
We're going to do, you know, 8 or 10, and we're going to do them as well as we can. And that's it. And this Apopka contest is really impressing the hell out of me. I don't know if it's gonna live up to all the hype.
I think it will. I think it will.
Go ahead.
I've been in conversation with Chuck for 6 weeks, at least 6 to 8 weeks, you know, talking about, you know, hey, can you come and do you mind mentioning on the show and this and that? And before I want to come on the show, I want to talk to somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this whole outdoor festival that they have, it's a big deal. It's been around a while. I look at just as a barbecue team for your 350 fee. You get to go watch Lone Star if you want to on Friday night, and then Gary Allen on Saturday night.
Right.
Those two tickets right there are going to cost you, and you get two tickets. Those tickets cost you $30, $40 a pop.
Sure.
I went to
DeLand on last Friday. I drove to DeLand up there to look at a boat with a friend of mine. Last Friday morning. We get up there, and we're going through Orlando, and we're listening to the radio, and there's advertisements. Every other song, there's an advertisement about the chili cook-off and the gun shooting demonstrations and the air dogs and, you know, in the concert. I think it's going to be a big deal.
Oh, believe me, man, I hate to miss it, but with the sister-in-law coming in town to play softball all weekend, I'd much rather be there. You know, there's very few times out of the year with her being in Pensacola that we get to see her play a whole, you know, a whole softball weekend. But no, I'm very impressed by Chuck and with the contest and with the festival that goes along with it. So I think it's going to be killer. I think it's going to go down as one of those, you know, the guy that impressed me, like one of those guys that impressed me first year out was Don Fisher at Venice.
Right.
You know, boom, Don put on a hell of a contest. Did he have a little bit of power problems? Yeah, but everything else was spot on. You know, I mean, he did a damn good job. And I got a feeling Chuck's going to be that same way.
Sure.
I think this one, will there be a hiccup or two? Probably. The guy's never had 60-something cook teams roll up in on site. Maybe one or two things that need a tweak. But I got a feeling, and I plan on having at least one or two guys on next week to talk about it. I got a feeling it's going to be one of those where y'all go, boys, y'all got to come back. Y'all got to come to this thing if you missed it this year, you know?
Well, I got a treat for everybody. I mean, if you go on the Everglades website, you're not going to find that rub.
Yep.
But you'll find a 1-800 number, and if you call tomorrow between 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock, you'll talk to Jenna, and Jenna is peaches and cream on the phone, and she will talk to you, and she will get you the rub, and she is as sweet as they come, and. If you tell her that you want some rub, you give her the address, give her a credit card, she will send you some rub.
Excellent.
And if she doesn't answer the phone, Kelly will. And you met some of them girls this past weekend there.
Yeah, they were sweethearts.
And I can't be more excited about where it's going to go, what it's going to do. As far as shelf space in the grocery store, like back to what we were talking about.
Yep.
There's no telling where that's going to go as far as that goes. It's time will tell.
Well, and it's one of those things, Jimmy. If you go to a shelf space now, let's say the local Sam's Club, you know, you've got, you know, you don't have any brand really putting out a barbecue rub. Yeah, you've got Emeril's Chicken Rub or Weber's. Those are huge brands that are putting up a shit ton of money.
Right.
You know, but I think what it's going to take is guys using it, and I'll be completely honest with you. From the, I'm not going to say when I got the test batch, but I did hoard some from David Kimbrough. It was on three of our four categories last weekend. And it's just well balanced. It's a good rub. It's got great color, and I think it's just going to take. That kind of one, I think, kind of you have to sell it a little bit to Chris and the board of directors at Everglades to say, look, we've really got something. Look at the results it's getting. Look at what it's doing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they know to push forward with it to
mass merchandise.
Well, I really want and you know what it's going to take? It's going to take the barbecue community out there, the people that we know to try it. And introduce it to their friends and family, and let them realize what a really awesome product it is, and how easy it is to use, and how it really makes you look good. I mean, you take a regular old chicken thigh, and well, you know what it'll do to a chicken. So it's a great all-purpose rub on pork and chicken, awesome. And you know, in Lakeland, I had a backyard team use it on their brisket and come in the top three. So it's a real, real good all-purpose rub.
Absolutely. So, Jimmy, before we get out of here, before we go over to Robbie Royal, anything else you want to hit up? You've got a Popka. What's after that?
You know, we're gonna sit down and have a meeting after a Popka. We've got the Sebring races coming up in March, and that's a big hometown thing, and we do a big big blowout with about 1,000 people. And
what weekend's that?
The 16th weekend of the 16th.
Oh, when Sam's Club.
Yep. That's why I'm not going to be at Sam's. You know, that's a big deal for us. Right before that, we're going to sit down. We're going to take a look at the calendar. We're going to look at the contests that are on the schedule, and we're going to make some decisions based on where we need to get Everglades out there and get the name out. Nick, this weekend, when I'm up at Apopka, Chris is going to be at the Florida Seafood Festival down in Everglades City.
Oh, nice.
And so Everglades is not sitting on their butt. We're moving and shaking. I mean, wherever we can be and get the name out, that's what we want to do.
Excellent.
And
that is awesome. And I hope to at least see you in Venice.
I will be in Venice. I'm supposed to. I'm tentatively scheduled to do the barbecue junction duel. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'll be cooking in the barbecue junction duel there in Venice, and somewhere.
Are Jeremy and Nicholas going to be part of the team? They got to be, Jeremy.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, and we've got a somewhere. I got to find it in the trailer. I got a 50% off thing that I want at the Fun Cook for the entry fee. So that'll be
cool
if I can find it. So.
Absolutely. I'm sure if you tell Don, I'm sure if you send Don an email and let him know you want it, he'll take care.
Yeah.
We saw Don this weekend, and he's amped up as can be, man. All he could tell me about was Underground Power's there. We can't wait for you guys to be there, blah, blah, blah. So,
the neat part about that contest, Chad, is I do a lot of business on that airport with my real business.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Last year I had a lot of people. I had like 5 or 6 customers in the trailer when that little tornado came through there and went crazy. But yeah, it's neat. I get to meet a lot of my customers that really make it possible for me to go out and follow this barbecue habit I have.
Well, what I loved was the fact that I got to go to the party on Thursday night and give all the volunteers whiskey mint hats. So then when they drove up to park y'all on Friday, you kind of felt like you were walking into a made hand.
The only thing that confused me a little bit is when I looked at those hats, I thought that they were Jack Daniels hats, and I couldn't.
You smart ass son of a gun.
What about the sissies out there? You know, and I went to Lynchburg, and I had a blast. I met all those people out there, and I never would have expected something like that.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. It happens.
It happens.
Anyway, always good to have you on, Jimmy. Best of luck in Apopka this weekend. And seriously, I'm gonna hook up with you offline with you and Chris. And I'd love to come down there a couple weeks out and just do a show down there. And we could have 2 months set up and just do it live right there, talk about the history of Everglades. And I think a lot of listeners would love to know, because there's so many people that ask about how do I get my rubs bottle? How do I get my sauces bottle? And to hear from somebody that's taken an idea and turned it into a nationally and worldwide recognized brand is a really cool opportunity to have.
Yeah, it's a great story, and it's something that would your listeners would love to hear about. So
absolutely,
hey,
and you've never met a better, more humble guy than Chris Seaman.
Well, I agree. If you got a minute, email me your shipping address. I got some stuff I need to send you.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. Take care, Jimmy.
Okay, Chad. Thanks for having me. All right,
yes, sir. Bye. All right, guys. Jimmy Brode, Everglades Seasonings Barbecue Team. Great friend of mine personally. Always a good friend of the show. Always takes care of us. I'll be honest with you. I had on my list, I wanted to talk to Jimmy in the next 2 weeks. I needed somebody tonight. Jimmy dropped dinner plans, came on the show. We talked about the rub. It's fitting to talk about it. You know, a weekend after we did a lot of good things with it. So really, really cool to get him on the show tonight. Thanks, Jimmy, for coming out. Before we go over to Robbie Royal, I want to give a thanks to another long-term sponsor, formerly Great Lakes Barbecue Supply, now TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. TheBarbecueSuperstore.com, guys, you can go over there. You can get everything you need. I'm actually making my list out, getting ready for Sam's Club next weekend to get my sauces, to get my rubs, to get my brines, all those things. You go over there, they've got a great assortment. We were talking about Texas Pepper Jelly earlier. You can always go to Craig's site and buy the stuff. But if you're over on TheBarbecueSuperstore.com, you can get, you know, your barbecue sauce or whatever things you need. And then also add that Texas pepper jelly or that rib candy right into that cart. You get low cost. You get good prices on shipping, and it gets right to your door usually in 3 to 4 days. So I've always told guys, if you're really in a rush for something, for a contest, try to get that order on Sunday. Worst case, on Monday. And if you're heading out Friday morning, it should be there ready for you. So, anyway, Mark and Richard over there, thanks so much for the support. TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. That being said, I'm going to pull up movie star, Robbie Royal.
Crazy. You're crazy.
Come on. Hey, man. Hey. You got a little bit of footage. You got a little bit of footage.
Little cameo spot. Don't, you can't beat that, can you?
Hey, don't sandbag me, you son of a gun.
Hey, start off with congratulations on the weekend. I know you're excited. You edged out probably one of the best FBA cooks there is in Dana, and congratulations to y'all and Whiskey Bent, and it's a hell of a cook.
Dude, absolutely, brother. And I got to say, you were the first Facebook direct message I got. And I thank you for that, man. That's super cool. I appreciate it. You're right. It will, and I'm
not able to cook as much nowadays, but I still love the sport, and I keep up with it as well as anybody. And to see great folks who are great ambassadors of barbecue, such as yourself, it's fun for me to. I have just as much fun when you win as if I'd have won. Now, you may not believe that, but I do.
No, I feel exactly that same way, man. It's really cool to watch your buddies win and guys you believe in. The only thing, and there's even times now, I mean, you know, we're not like rescue smokers with 20, 30 grand.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we've got our four, but we've helped a lot of up-and-coming teams and had the opportunity to. And man, when you see those guys take one, people think you're BSing, but that means more than if you took it that day.
I agree. I mean, I was actually on Jim Bird's show last night and plugging our cook here in Ashburn, and we talked a lot about that, how fun it is to sit back and see teams that have been cooking 3, 4, 5 years win their first grand, and it's so much fun to be there with them that it just doesn't matter what you do sometimes, you know, when you're able to kick back and see folks like Mr. Joe Wright of Bethel Smokers. You know, I was very fortunate to be there when he won his first grand, and it's just an awesome experience to experience that with someone like that.
No, I completely agree. And, you know, it all goes back to, and one of the things I meant to hit in Jimmy's segment was I didn't know Jimmy Brode really well when we won our first grand championship at Claremont. You know, it's one of those things you see a guy at a barbecue contest. And well, I'll tell you, the first time I ever met Jimmy Brode was the weekend after he had came back from reserve grand in the American Royal Open. And he was right across from us. And, you know, somebody says to me, hey, you know who's across from you there? And at that time, we weren't really big into knowing who's who and this and that. And that guy just took RGC at the Royal last weekend. I was like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah, I know. Our second ever KCBS event, we cooked the Boss Hog in Waynesboro was our first ever KCBS event. And we took RGC there. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, we went to cook Columbus. And had never really been right next to Jimmy, never really talked to him a whole lot, and had the opportunity to, over in Columbus, Georgia, at the Pig Bowl, he was parked right there, and we pulled up, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm cooking next to Jimmy Brode, who's a well-known cook and established cook, and probably one of the toughest barbecue competitors out there. When you pull up, you know that he's one of that handful or two handfuls that's going to win an event, and was sitting next to him at awards, and, you know, won our second KCBS event ever, won grand champion. And, you know, it feels good to beat a team like Jimmy, because you don't do it very often. When you're one of maybe a, you know, the 24 teams there, that you feel like you're one of maybe a dozen that really has the ability to win it, and you do it against a team like him, that's an awesome feeling to get right there.
Well, to me, the thing that was amazing about it was, yeah, we were across from that weekend in Mulberry. And Jimmy's always wanted to say, hey, and how you doing, and this and that. But that's all we had done until March of the next year. And we won Claremont. And, you know, after you get done getting all your things and, you know, all that stuff, congrats. We get back to the trailer. And there he is, standing right in front of the – had not walked in our trailer, standing right outside of the – kind of the gate to our trailer, and said, I just wanted to be the first ones to congratulate y'all on, you know, winning GC today.
He's always that guy. He's always one of those. You know, you got a lot of guys that won't won't congratulate you. You know, and it's being one of those folks that's going to be there to start with, like that, like Jimmy, and I feel like we are, and like you are. I think that says something about a team and about a person, and you know, just to be able to extend that hand and know that what that other team is feeling right then is as much fun as winning it yourself most of the time.
No, absolutely. So I definitely agree with you. Let's talk Ashburn for a little bit, man.
Ashburn's ready, man. Looking forward to it.
Hold on. Let me back up on Ashburn for a second. We'll close with that here in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Talk to me about the Pitmasters filming at the Jig. What'd you think about it?
I think if the last 3 years Meyer hadn't been there, we'd have took his ass. I'm telling you, you know, you've got the NBN event. It's like they say, the dog and pony show. And to take the pass down from Meyer the last 3 years has been an awesome experience. Knowing that if maybe if he hadn't had that film crew there and he was off filming somewhere else, we'd have had a good shot at it. But, you know, he is the big pig Jig. And Raymond and I are ever going to win that grand, we want him there because to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Great player, baby. Woo.
Yeah, and that's the goal, is to take him down when he's there. You know, we're getting so close, as you know, to have two top fours again this year, and with 130-something teams, it's an awesome experience. To watch the filming of Myron and Michael, you know, Michael came up in the GBA when we were rolling pretty good in the GBA, and he and I became good friends, just like Myron and I are good friends. And it's, you know, we gave Michael a few tips on different things, and it's fun to see, not taking credit because he's got the greatest teacher there is, you know, with Myron, but to be able to watch someone like him who is extremely passionate about what he's trying to do. You know, it's not just about trying to compete with his father. It's about being that barbecue person on his own, because let me tell you, he doesn't cook the way Myron cooks. I've seen both of them cook, and he's completely different. He's got different ideas about his boxes. He's got different flavor profiles, and I know he was disappointed. I was right there while they were actually filming the spot where he's disappointed in the fact that he didn't make a final. And this, that, and the other, and you know, he was truly hurt. It wasn't all show. He was disappointed.
No, I'm sure.
Not to make a final, to have a shot at his dad. You know, if you don't make that final nine, you don't have a shot.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But, it was fun. We were sitting right behind Myron at awards, and you know, it's Myron being Myron. He's not acting to be on that show. It's just Myron being Myron, and it's fun. You know, a lot of folks say, well, he's putting on this. But if you're really around him a lot, a little bit of it is show, but, you know, it's him. He's true blue to who he is, and it's fun to watch, and it was fun to watch on TV. Did not have a clue that we were going to catch any airtime other than our finals and ribs being announced. So it was a neat thing to be around.
I'm sure, and I'm going to ask your advice here. So we're going one of two routes this year. One, I'm trying. It's early in the year. I'm trying to pull together the All-Star team to come up there and cook that thing this year. I don't know a thing about Whole Hog.
Well, Louis is your man for Whole Hog, baby.
What's that?
Damon's your man for Whole Hog. They went to Adel first in Hog, the first Hog they'd ever cooked.
That's the one, you know, I'm trying to recruit for that. The other one I'm trying to recruit is Jimmy Brooks for Shoulder.
Yeah, well, I kind of wish you wouldn't bring all them folks up here. You just come hang around with us.
And then well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Am I better off? And then I'll cook ribs. Am I better off doing that, or am I better off just begging you and Raymond to come up there and wash y'all's dishes?
We talked about that before the Pig Jig this past year in November, and you know you had an open invitation for that year, this past year.
I know, and I ended up having to fly out of the country that week for work, damn it. But I just want to, you know, I've never been around an NBN. I just want to get in there, and I want to get that feel and get, you know, get understand that contest, you know, and understand that whole approach to things and just kind of soak it up, because I mean, I wouldn't know which end to start at on a Whole Hog, and I've watched a lot, I've read a lot, but there's nothing like, you know, touching, feeling, getting the feel for it. You know, it was like, you know, me and Damon were talking this weekend. He said, Chad, I've known Pete Cooks in my life. I ain't never seen him get a thermopen out. He said, I've seen him take a gloved hand and feel on that loin and feel on that ham and feel on that bacon.
Yeah.
He said, and, you know, him and Melissa, and I'm sure you and Raymond are the same way.
We are. You know, we are. I mean, you know, we actually went up there, and I got the opportunity to go in and hang out with Melissa and Pete myself at Memphis in May last year after we didn't make finals up there, and that's an experience in itself. And don't know if I'll ever go back up there. It's a lot of money for that little bit of chance. You know, only one person can come out ahead.
You know, let me ask you this. You ain't got to get into hard dollars, Robbie. But I mean, what do you think? I mean, well, you know. But what does it run for a team like that you got to get a spot? And I think, folks, if you're thinking about a $300 spot at your normal barbecue contest, you've lost your mind.
Just our spot to cook. We actually borrowed Lonnie Smith's battle wagon to go to Memphis because it had a hog cooker on each end because we were going to do two hogs. And for a cook site that big, and Myron and Melissa and them, they had a spot a little bit bigger enough just to cook one category. Entry fee was $27.50.
So you guys cooked hog?
We cooked hog. And the fair right there with Myron. Georgia boys didn't do great up in Memphis this past year. I think the top 10 or 11 hogs there were all from the Memphis or the Olive Branch, Mississippi area right there. And the thing about it is you have to be up there that Sunday before to put your cook trailer on site, Sunday or Monday, so you got to be up there all week. That was our summer vacation. All together, in the ballpark figure, we had between 85 and 9 in the
trip. I figured 10 to budget it, to go do something like that.
Yeah, and that's us cooking in. We rented a house cheaper than we could get motels, and we cooked a lot at the house, you know, cooking spaghetti, lasagna.
Yeah.
Grilling hamburgers, you know, if we'd went out on the town in Memphis every night, you know, we'd have easily had 10 in it.
So now for the jig, so some old boys are going to come up, cook the jig, stay in a hotel, half the price?
Less than that.
Less than that, okay.
Yeah, I think less than that, because you don't have, y'all have about, from where y'all are, probably about a 6-hour ride.
Right.
Your entry fees, you can cook all three categories for $450 at the jig.
Oh, you know? Wow.
Yeah, 450. The first one's, I think the first one's 150, the second's 125, third category's 100, and then you enter a few of the ancillaries, you know, you got about 450 in it, and, you know, then your meats, you need 20 slabs of ribs, 8 to 10 shoulders, and one really nice hog.
So, yeah, and then that was something that was amazing. Damon was explaining to me, and I don't know all the details about how you could get away with cooking one hog, even if you made finals.
The way you just, when you're doing your own site presentation, you're going to, where you pull your blind box from, you're going to pull your meat for those preliminary judges from that side, from the back side of the hog. And then if you make finals, and we almost made hog finals, too, at the jig this year. We came in fourth, missed hog finals by a tenth of a point. Aggravating as Haiti. But then you just cover it up with a little bit of decoration, and just when you get your finals judges in there, you just judge from the front side of the hog. You know, that's the best way to do it. Even Myron, you know, I've seen him, you know, folks go to Memphis, they're going to cook two or three hogs and then pick the best one. Even at the jig, Myron only cooks one hog, but he cooks a big boy. He cooks a 200-pounder. Whereas we do about 165,
170. And is that as long a cook as they say it is? I mean, Robbie, is that a 18, 20-hour cook?
We put our hog on, you know, being 160 to 170 pounds about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's ready usually by about 6 or 7 a.m., so we do about a 15-hour cook on ours.
Okay.
And that gives you a good 2 hours for that hog to sit there and rest. You know, he needs to rest. He needs to be ready and then be able to rest for about 2 hours before you start your presentations.
Okay, so I'm just talking like me and you at a barbecue contest. So if I ask a question that you don't want on the air, just say, Chad, we'll talk about it later or whatever.
I don't have any secrets. I never have. You know that.
Yeah. So So, you know, you say it may be done by 7 or 8. So are you kind of ramping your pit temperature down as the hog's getting closer?
Yeah. I mean, the goal is when you get to within, you know, 10 degrees on those hams and those shoulders, and you just need to start it. You know, hopefully it's within 10 degrees by about 4 a.m. and you can just let that fire start dying. You got to keep a little bit of heat in there.
Right.
But when the judges get there, there's no smoke coming out of the stack. It's really cool down, but the meat's held its temp, you know.
Right. So the meat's held its temp. Probably your chamber's reading, I don't know, 120, 130.
Probably in that area by the time the judges get there around 10:30. Yes.
And so what happens? So do you okay? Let's say this year you would have got told, hey, you made finals. Would you have added any coals or a log on it to kind of prep it back up?
We'd have lit up a chimenea,
okay,
full of peach wood and coals, and just threw them in there just to kind of heat that chamber back up. So there's, you know, not heat it up much, but just to add a little bit back in there.
Right. Okay.
And you know, and the thing about it is, you're gonna, you know, we cook on a Bubba Grills for whole hog. Great cooker. We've never been out of the top five with that cooker, and in a whole hog, you know, I think we've done 7, and you know, but we've got our vertical feed stumps that we do our ribs and our shoulders on. So, you know, shoulders just take care of themselves, and then Raymond pulls the night shift, and I come in around 6 a.m. He goes to take him a 3-hour nap while I'm finishing everything up and getting the ribs going, and it's a job. It's tough for a two couple team to do that, but we've been real fortunate to have a couple of friends up there every year, you know, different friends, and to just help out and do what they need to do.
All right, well, you know, one last thing I'm going to ask you, and then we're going to talk about your contest, because I've gotten all envy and excited and took over half of your segment to talk about Ashburn. So you watched the episode, I'm sure.
Yes.
The part where Myron says, let's give these judges a hand. Is that a thing that a lot of people do, or is that kind of a thing that it kind of seems a little bit placating? Like, I mean, I think the judge may enjoy it, but it's kind of really super ass-kissing to me.
Well, let's put it like that. Like this, your blind box is 6/10 of your score. Your own side is 4/10.
Okay.
So 40% of your score comes from ass-kissing.
Then I'm gonna have every somebody around there clapping their hands.
Hey, I've seen Lonnie Smith with Bubba Grills. I went to a Milledgeville contest and to pick up our hog cooker years ago, and we were there. And one of his nephews' girlfriends was on the cheerleading team of the college up there in Fort Valley.
I see where this is.
They had the entire cheerleading crew there cheering for each judge, man. So
wow.
And he won. So you never know.
Well, and that's the other thing. Damon had told me that Lonnie always puts on a good deal for the judges, and that Boar's Night Out is the theme that always makes the judges feel more than welcome.
You know, I haven't listened to your show in the last few weeks, but Boar's Night Out's a hell of a team. You know, wind up first place in all three categories for the year. That's a hell of a barbecue team.
Yeah. Well, did they win a lot of money doing that? Sure, but do you realize the money you're out of pocket?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no way we, as a two-man or two-couple team, could do NBNs more than once or twice a year because, you know, every one of your cooks, you're going to have, you know, if they're within a reasonable driving distance, like the Pig Jig's only 40 miles from us, you know, we're going to camp out up there in campers, but we're going to have 2,500, 3,000 involved. And, you know, the only way you're going to get that money back is first place grand champion. That's the only way, period. So you've got to win some grands to do that. And, you know, grand champion up there, I think, is $3,000. And that's the only way you're going to break even is to win that grand. That's the only way anybody out at Memphis in May breaks even is to win grand champion.
All right. Well, Robbie, I'm gonna stop this because I'm not gonna cut you short on your Ashburn deal, but I am gonna pull you. I am gonna pull you up in the next couple of weeks. We're just gonna do a 30, 45 minute MBN session. All right.
Hey, that's perfect. All right, so I'll plug
plug Ashburn real quick.
Let's plug Ashburn.
For the folks that were there for the SBA Fire Ant Festival barbecue bash last year, you ask any of them, it's a jam-up event. Prize money, I've got $8,500 this year. Trophies are running me about $3,500. Going to be some special trophies. We've got the chainsaw artists coming back in to do all of our first place, grand, and reserve, and got those posted up. Actually stuck them on your Facebook again today.
No problem.
Those are awesome trophies. And then we've got Dale Wilson of Pirate 50 Designs out of Edge of North Carolina doing the other 40 or so trophies, and I got a lot of money invested in them. Very unique trophies. No other ones like it out there, because your top four places, your top four first places and your grand reserve, they're carved right there that weekend. You get to watch your trophies be made. And, you know, the hospitality is bar none, as good as some of the other ones. You know, if you've ever cooked Thomaston, those boys up there at Smoke on the Water, that's an awesome cook. Frank Cosmo down there, it's that kind of hospitality here in Ashburn. Great hookups. Every cook team's got their own power outlet that's got its designated 30-amp breaker, so you're going to be fine on that. Great water, great facilities. We've already got, 50-something judges. The word just spread throughout the judges this year after last year at the great event in general, because there's a fair right next to the cook-off. I mean, literally right next to it. You're right there with the fair. And so it's a family-oriented event. There's about 150 arts and crafts vendors. It's a great family atmosphere. About a $25,000 fireworks show on Friday night.
Woo.
Something going on, a band on Friday, band on Saturday. You can come in on Thursday evening. I'll be out there from noon on and stay till Sunday whenever you get ready to leave. You'll have power, water, all that time with access to bathrooms. It's just going to be a great event. This is our second year with FBA. We've got Wendy is going to be our rep again this year, and you know, she loves it. You can ask her what kind of event it is, and I just think it's going to be one of the better ones in the state of Georgia. Can't wait till we are actually the state championship, probably not next year, but the following year. That'll be great. We are a designated Jack Daniels qualifier. Do have our state championship proclamation from the governor. So I know there's another event that weekend way down in South Florida, but those boys that were in South Florida last year from down there, Terry McKay, Dana, they were up here. And anybody, I think you can ask, it was a great event and will be again this year.
That's awesome, man. It ended
up
falling
on a week.
And
what's great about it is I get to cook it, man. You know, I help organize it, but as soon as Wendy and Noel Davis get there, you know, I'm through. I've got the team set in place, and I get to have fun and cook, and that's the best part of it.
That's awesome, brother. That is awesome. So for the folks that are listening, is it your usual $300, $75 a category?
$250 for all four categories.
Wow. With $8,500 prize money, that's a good return.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a fun event, man. You're going to get some really not last year we had Bo Vice there. Was on American Idol.
Yeah.
And I don't really know who the bands are this year, but you know, it's going to be a great event. March 22nd, 23rd. Go ahead and make your plans now. Get the money in early. Last year we had 40 teams. I'm going to try to spread it out. We're willing to, I got the folks at the festival willing to add a little bit of power, a little bit of water if we were to get 50. But the goal is 40. You know, that's always a great cook. One of the bigger ones up here in Georgia. And just can't wait. Really got a meeting about it tomorrow and just ready to put it on.
Awesome. So for folks that are wanting to go check it out, get all the details, where they need to go, Robbie?
Go to fireantfestival.com, www.fireantfestival.com, or check it out on Rescue Smokers Facebook. I've got a link to the Fire Ant Festival Facebook site there that's got information, pictures of the trophies, and the great thing about it is we're right on I-75. It's great, easy access. When you get off interstate, you're less than an eighth of a mile from the location we're going to cook. Great restaurants, ice machine right next to it. I don't know what else to say except it's going to be one of the better ones in a few years. I keep telling folks I want to continue to cook it, but it may get to a point where I can't cook it, you know, because I've got so much going on, and that'd be fine too. It's great for the community. The community, the festival is not looking to make money, and there's not many places that go on that aren't looking to make money. So,
you know,
investing $12,000, if we get 40 teams, we only are pulling in $10,000. You know, they're willing to lose a little bit just to have a great event here and have a great organization like the FBA, you know, sanctioning the event. And because it's like Jim Berg and I talked last night, you take Florida, you take Georgia, you've got 75% of the greatest cooks in the nation right here.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I'm not knocking them boys like Rod Gray and Tuffy, but you know, really, if you look at other states, where you know two or three headline names in those states, in Georgia and Florida, you got 30 in Georgia, you got 30 in Florida that can win an event anytime.
Absolutely, I agree with you, brother. Robbie, we're out of time. I appreciate you coming in, my man.
Hey, I hope you can make it up here, and if you win grand, I'll have your bottle of reserve for you.
Perfect, brother. I love it.
All right. We appreciate it. Congratulations to you again, Chad.
Thanks, Robbie. We'll take care. We'll talk soon.
All right. Hey, just holler back. Later.
All right, guys. Robbie Royal wrapping up. Ashburn Fire Ant Festival. Go check it out. Got a great contest going on up there. It's going to be good things. Next week, we already got Michael McDearman, your American Grill Master, coming in. And we're going to have Shannon Duncan from the Wingin' It Festival, along with maybe a Ronnie Cage showing. So we'll talk to you. Until next week, keep the pit lit.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Bail the whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grill, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and sack it. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.